And this week will probably be the most important of the messages. As far as if I had to pick one that you had to get, and one that you'd listen to, and one that you'd apply to your life, this one will change your life. I promise you, if you'll apply this, your life will be transformed. You will be so thrilled at how your life is transformed, and how your mind is. We're in Matthew 6 here. And by the way, we're speaking today on dealing with worry and stress. Dealing with worry and stress. If I was guessing, I would guess how many of you have worry or stress. I would probably get a pretty unanimous thing. If you don't have any worry or any stress in your life, we gotta have a talk. I gotta get something from you. I gotta get some information from you. But it's something that's for every one of us, and myself included. But Matthew 6, God has the answers. But worry and stress are things we gotta get fixed. I'm gonna read you starting verse 25 of Matthew 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? We're going to visit all this truth here. Just so you know what he's saying here, he's saying, God, why are you so worried about your having your needs supplied? Why are you so worried about your clothing and your house and your food? It says, look at the animals, look at nature. God takes care of them, only take care of you. Verse 27, it says, why are you worried? It doesn't help anything. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? That's clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, you know, flowers don't worry about what they're going to wear, but they're more beautifully clothed than anything, than anybody in the world. And yet I say unto you, that even, verse 30, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not he much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, it says, take no thought. Therefore, take no thought. Saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But instead of worrying about all these things, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We just sing that song. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of its for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This chapter just told you a whole bunch of things about stress and worry, how to fix them. And we're going to talk about that, we're going to pray, and then we'll talk about that. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We know the word of God is eternal, it's perfect, and it has the answers, Father. You said that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe we have what we need through your word, and we have the Holy Spirit of God to teach us it, and I pray that would happen, that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. Father, I pray right now you get a hold of some hearts, some minds, and I pray today some lives be transformed for the rest of their time on earth. And it can be, Father, this truth is so profound and so great from your word, Lord. I pray that it would be taught right, our hearts and our minds would listen. I pray you'd speak now in a great and mighty way. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and I pray that you would be in control of this service. Be glorified. And Lord, please, may this message be powerfully spoken and rightfully divided. And may your Holy Spirit move in our midst. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It says several things here about worry. I'm pretty sure I was reading somewhere. And it had a list of all the things that worry does to you physically. And it compiled all the studies. Now, there's always studies being going on. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe how much worry affects your physical health. It affects everything. It's not like it just gives you one problem or another. It affects everything. It gives you ulcers. It affects your blood pressure. It affects your heart. You'll have back problems and neck problems if you have stress because your muscles all tighten up. It affects your emotions. It affects your concentration ability. It affects everything in your body. It affects your digestive system. It affects everything. Every part of your body is messed up when you're stressed out. You're a mess. It compounds itself when you get stressed out. I mean, first you get stressed out, and then you get stressed out, your stomach starts hurting. And then you can't eat right. And then you got to change your diet. And then you, all of a sudden your back starts getting tense, and then your back starts hurting. You got to figure out how you're going to pay for the chiropractor. And then you're saying, I'm already broke. That's why I was stressed out in the first place. Now I have to pay for the chiropractor. It doesn't help to get stressed out. It messes everything up. I'm telling you, it does not do good. It ruins your physical body. But let me say, that's bad enough. The effect on your physical body is bad enough. You have anxiety attacks. It affects everyone differently. When I get stressed out, I have an exact clear sign that happens to me. My chest tightens up. I have problems breathing when I get stressed out. I know that. I thank God for that. It warns me ahead of time that I'm getting stressed out because I'm not supposed, we're going to talk about that. You're not supposed to be stressed out. And my body warns me, you're getting stressed out. And I got to stop it. It affects everyone, and it affects everyone in different ways. My stomach gets upset and other things. But more than your body, which is terrible and very profound, it affects your soul and your mind. It affects your relationships. If we were all honest, we would admit that we have bit somebody's head off, whether it be our children or somebody we're married to or whatever, because we're stressed out. And they ask the question at the wrong time. You're all stressed out and everything's going wrong, and your kid says, can I have a sandwich? No! Okay! I just wanted a sandwich! You know how it is. It affects your mind. It affects your emotions. You go to work, and by the end of the day, you've been stressed out. It's been a terrible day, and you're ready to strangle your coworker. You just... It affects your emotions. It affects your relationships. And by the way, it affects you spiritually. When you get stressed out, you're, first of all, disobeying God. Because God says, don't worry. And we're going to talk about that. You are affecting your relationship with God. It attacks your faith. And when you get worried, you replace prayer with worry. And so it's a mess. Everything about being stressed. And if nothing else, I personally am a very selfish person. And I don't like being stressed out. I'm too selfish to be stressed out. So I said, God, I can't be stressed out. I don't want to be stressed out. I don't like to be. And I don't like being miserable. How's that for being spiritual? I just like being miserable. I don't like being stressed out. So today, I'm going to give you, I promise you, this is the absolute cure for stress and worry. And most emotional, as we're going to having a sound mind, come from stress and worry. That is so much of our problems. It affects you so much. It is so profound. You don't want to be worried. But you know what the great thing is? God in His Word gives us a solution. Isn't that great that God knows what our needs are? And He's not some high power that just kind of lets us go down here. But He says, I know what stress is. Look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. No one is going to be crucified the next day. Talk about stress. Jesus and God, they know what stress is. God knows what stress is. And He says, I'm going to give you the ability to deal with it. And Jesus dealt with it. He gives you the answer. In Matthew 6, I have 2 points. My points are nothing but verses. First verse is my point, is Matthew 6:34. It says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The first thing that I want to teach you to fix the stress is, number one, Matthew 6:34. The Lord only works out one day at a time. The Lord only works out one day at a time. When you grasp this truth, it'll help you so much. God only works out one day at a time. If you look at Scripture, God always talks about today. If you read Hebrews 3, you see 4 times God says today. Today, hear His voice. Today, today, today. Paul said, I die daily. This verse in Matthew 6:34, it says so much about today. It says, you live in today so much. It says, take no thought of tomorrow. Don't even think about tomorrow. It says, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We'll explain that in a sec here. It says, don't think about tomorrow. God deals with one day at a time. Everything in the Bible is daily. God works in a daily thing. Let me just give you a quote here. Worry comes from looking at the future's problems. Worry comes from looking at the future's problems. Now, let me say one disclaimer here, just so you understand. That doesn't mean you don't plan. The Bible talks a lot about planning. The Bible says consider the end. How that they look ahead and they see the summer and winter. And planning's not bad. But worrying about the future is. Okay, have a 401k and plan on your retirement someday. But go in and say, I want to take out this month or every month, and then don't sit here and worry about what you're going to do when you retire. Don't worry about it. It's nothing wrong with planning, but the worrying is the problem. There's nothing wrong with that. Just make a plan and plan for the future. That's fine. But you don't worry about the future. You make a plan, and it's a basic plan, but you know what? The best laid plans of men, don't get too into your plan, because your plan may go kaplah. What to do sometimes? Let me illustrate this to you, how God works. We have an object lesson today. How was this? Matthew, come on up here. Don't worry, I'm not going to hog-tie him.
Right.
Yeah, really. Okay. Today, Matthew is going to be God. And and I'm going to be a sinful man. And well, I know that's inaccurate, it's flipped, but that's okay. Here's God. Then, oh, let me start for a second. This is life here. Your life is like this, a tangled mess. This is life. What God does, here's all the problems of life and all the messes of life. Life brings messes. You never get out of the messes and problems. So I come into life, and I look at my life, and I say, I've got a mess of problems. And it gets handed down to me. Here's life. Here's the problems and worry and stress of all the rest of my life. What am I going to do? And so I look at all these things, and here's my worries in life. Now, here, right here, is today. This is, hold this for a sec, this is not here yet. Here is today's problems. Okay? I've got right here. I can handle these. I can figure out this knot right now. It's not too big of a burden. That knot, I can't handle yet. Okay? It's a mess. Here's what happens. God says, don't take tomorrow's mess to today. You got enough problem, worry about today's mess. Take no thought of tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what it says? It says tomorrow has got enough problems. Yes, it is. I don't know about you, but I got enough problems today where I don't need to add anything to it. So I got this thing right here, and God says, deal with that. Don't worry about that. What most of us do when we get stressed out is we go, look at this mess. And this is coming too. And look at all this. And what am I going to do? You take all these problems, and pretty soon you're overwhelmed. I can't try this. And you make a bigger mess than you started with. But these problems aren't even dealt with yet. Let me illustrate it this way. I'll make it just like a simple illustration. We'll get back to this in a sec. So let's say you have your car, and you get started up, and you hear a little knocking noise. Dun, 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 dun. So your car starts knocking. Here's what happens. Well, I guess I have a problem with my car. But it's still running. I know when a car starts knocking, it usually lasts, you know, you can get several thousand miles out of it. Sometimes it's a lot of miles out of it. I've driven a car with a knock for 35,000 miles. Praise the Lord. You get a knock and you say, oh, I got a problem here. I guess I'm going to just keep driving the car for now and start praying about how to get another car in the future. But today, I can't do anything about it. I can just drive my car to home and back to church tonight because I know I should be at church tonight. Amen. And I know I should be at church tonight, so I can do that. And today I need to go to church, and I need to go, and I need to eat lunch, and that's today's problem. But well, what do? Oh no, that car's going to fall apart. Oh no, then I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do about this when my car dies? I can't get around. I don't know if I can have money. What kind of car am I going to buy? Oh! You just brought up tomorrow's problem and overwhelmed yourself. You want to know when you really get messed up? When you just get the end of your rope, here's what the devil will do if you really get under attack. And every once in a while you have this happen, the devil just gets your mind, and you get so illogical, but it makes sense at the time. You look back and say, what was I thinking? You say, okay, my car has to knock, oh no. My car's probably going to die soon. And then I'm not going to have money to buy a new car. And then, I'm not going to go to work. And then, all of a sudden, I don't have a car, and I'm not going to go to work. I'm not going to have money. And then my house can be repossessed. I can be homeless. I can be in the streets. And a truck up, a homeless person can come and kill me. And take all everything I have. Or I'm going to get addicted to drugs. And all of a sudden, you're just, and you walk up, and somebody says, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? You're stressed out. That friend tells you, what's the problem? But he's just knocking. I'm going to be dead and homeless. Oh. Okay. Are you living in your car? No, but let's talk about this. Because you start taking tomorrow's problems and the devil starts through your mind, and pretty soon you're a disaster. And pretty soon you can't exist. Pretty soon you're so stressed out, you're worried, and you're driving like this on the road, and then somebody cuts you off. Stressed out. And that's the way we live. That's the way we live. Because you take tomorrow's problems. Now, let me illustrate this. The Bible says, take no thought of tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of itself. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. illustration. God, let me say this, God never promises to have tomorrow worked out. You say, Pastor, if I told you my problem, you would say it's not fixable. There's a problem that there's no solution for. You're right. And I can tell you my problems that there's no solution for right now. Because God hasn't worked it out yet. It's still in tomorrow. But God, being a good God that He is, He never gives you more than you can handle. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that, but you're evil. So God's got all things in my life. I'm serving God. God hands me back what I can handle. Today. He'll never hand me more than I can handle. Now, my job is to seek God's kingdom first, live for Him, and start doing what I have to do today. Which is I can handle this. I can handle today. Let me tell you something. I am working with people who get overwhelmed, which people do in our culture so much. And in my own life, and I'm going to give you some testimony of my own life, you never meet someone who can't handle today. God always gives the ability to handle today. You listen to someone, I just can't make it, I'm not going to make it anymore, I can't take life anymore, I'm just done, I can't handle it. Can you handle the rest of the day today? By the way, if you're dealing with a suicidal person, just so you know, make a deal with them. Say, you know what, can you give me a couple days? Just don't do anything drastic right now. Give me a couple days. Make a pact with them. Because the devil is making them take all these problems. And you'll say, what do you have to do today? And sort out your day today and say, what do you have to do today? Well, today, I have to go to work, I have to come home, I have to feed the dog, I have to go, and I have to write some checks for bills. Okay, let's just do that. Because everyone can handle today, but when you get overwhelmed, you say you can't take it anymore, it's because you just took everything you can. It hasn't worked out yet. It's not done yet. But what happens is you seek God's kingdom first, and God says, I'll start working on tomorrow. And so He starts untangling the mess. And so He's untangling the mess. By the time it gets to me, God's untangling it. I've got another today. Now, tomorrow's not worked out yet. But I can handle this little knot. And I got this rope here, and the knot is getting untangled. Made it through another day, Lord. I couldn't have done all that because God hadn't worked it out yet. Well, I got something coming up, and I don't know what I'm going to do about it. There's no solution. I'm going to get a point, and I don't know the answer. That's fine. Because God hasn't worked it out yet. But if you take care of today, and you take care of today, God takes care of tomorrow. And by the time that you get to tomorrow, God's worked it out so you can handle it. If I ask anybody in this room who's stressed out, and overwhelmed is a good word, I'd say, can you handle today? You'd say, yes. I'd say, good, that's all you need. But what am I going to do about it? Don't worry about that. Tomorrow's got enough problems. Do you have enough problems today? Yes. Then don't take tomorrow's and add them to it. You got enough problems already? Don't add your tomorrow's problems. But we do that, don't we? You sit down, my friend, and explain this a little more. Let me give you some just thoughts here on this. God gives you today's situation with grace to handle it. God gives you today's situation with the grace to handle it. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them who love God. Matthew 6:33, if you seek God's kingdom first, all these things will be added unto you. Let me give you this quote. The Lord works out tomorrow if you handle today properly. That verse said, seek ye first, in verse 33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's talking about worrying about all the things. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? He says, don't worry about it. You seek my kingdom today and do what I want you to do, and I'll take care of your tomorrow. So you don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's in my hands. So when you serve God today and do what God has for you today, tomorrow takes care of itself because God's taking care of you tomorrow. Or you can do what we naturally do, is yank tomorrow out of God's hands, say, what am I going to do? This isn't fair, God. What are you doing? There's no solution. I don't know what's going to happen in life. What am I going to do about this? And then you get stressed out. Then you get worried. But you can handle today. God has given you the ability to handle today. And if you work on today, God will take care of your tomorrow. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Next, tomorrow's problems always look unsolvable because God hasn't worked them out yet. Tomorrow's problems always look unsolvable because God has not worked them out yet. Yes, there's no solution to your problem, but there will be by the time you get there if you serve God. It just hasn't worked out yet. People get overwhelmed because they combine tomorrow's problems with today's problems. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of its for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow's got enough problems. Quit bringing that problems from tomorrow into today. You say, but I got to. I don't know what to do. There's something coming up and there's no solution. I don't know what to do. You serve God today. Seek His kingdom first. You pray, you read your Bible, you go to church, you do the will of God for today. You serve God and you be diligent and do what God asks you today. Everything will be fine tomorrow. But what the devil is going to try to make you do is drop today. And guess what happens when you drop today? And you mess up today. This big knot that's tomorrow, every time a whole knot here. This big knot that is tomorrow, just got added to it the knot of today that you never did. And so now you got more knots tomorrow. Go ahead. Got some more knots tomorrow. And so now you've got all these knots combined, and now you got a rougher day if you didn't take care of yesterday. What you want to do is you want to go and take care of today's problems. I used to have a roommate in college, and he used to laugh because when he got stressed out, he just shut down. He just quit. I remember one day he slept through class, he didn't wake up in time, and he got up and got, look at the time it was, and he goes, and missed his 8 o'clock class, and he rolled back over in bed. Well, about an hour and a half later, he woke up in 9 o'clock class. What time is it? Oh, I missed my 9 o'clock class. Rolled back over in bed. 10 o'clock class, he did it. And then he would just say, forget it. I'm not going to chapel. I'm not going to class. I give up. And then he wouldn't go to work because he's just so stressed out. And the boss didn't really appreciate that much. And he would just shut down, and now he's out of those problems and the stress, and he's just compounding it. Don't compound your problems. Take care of the today God's given you. And tomorrow, God will take care of yourself. Let me give you a long personal illustration about this in my life and illustrate it to you. Because I figure I'm a pretty normal person and I know what stress is like. I came out here, and I talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. I came out here, we started the church from scratch. We didn't have one prospect, we didn't know one single soul. We didn't have a bunch of 10 people waiting around for us to start a church, we had nothing. And we started a church, it did not start well. And I've said many times before, we averaged 7 in our first year for the whole year. On Sunday morning, and my family was 5. And so we didn't have a good start. We had some Sundays that were, over 20 a few times. So the average was not very many. We had over a month where nobody came to church, except for my family. I mean, Sunday morning, we set everything up, set the sign up, and we came to church, and there was nobody in my family for an entire month. Not one person came to church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, at all. We had all these problems. We had this, and you got to understand, there was a lot of things to worry about. The church, we paid rent for this building. We had this rent, we had the phone bill, we had everything. The church costs about $600 a month rent or to run, and, well, nobody was coming. Nobody gave. And yours truly had to pay everything. Well, I already had a family. I was working a full-time job, and I had to pay every single bill. I had to pay the rent, I had to pay everything. We had no money. No money coming in. I sat down one day, and I wrote out a budget. Boy, that was a mistake. I wrote down my mortgage. I wrote down my insurance for my car. I didn't have any bills at all. And I wrote down just the basic things I had to do. I didn't have a bunch of bills or anything. And before I got to my food, and before I got to any maintenance for my car, before I got to any miscellaneous or any emergency money or clothing, by that time I was $300 a month short before I got that stuff. I didn't have groceries budgeted in. I said, enough of this budget stuff. The thing worth looking at. Just stress me out. If you would have come to me at that time and said to me, what's going to happen? What are you going to do? Nobody's coming to church. And a visitor came. They were the only ones at church. They didn't enjoy the service. They were the only ones that had tried to sing with 2 or 3 people. They were stressed out. Both Francisco back then. So they were stressed out. They were stressed out. They were sitting there and they had friction there. There were other people there. I mean, it was rough. And when somebody came, I knew they weren't going to like church because I knew it was too small. And because my kids have been in the nursery. And here's a visitor and he gets to the front row and I preach this to him. That's not going over well. I thought, what am I going to do? If you were to ask me, I would have said, I have no solution. I was working full time. I was working just like 40 hours a week. I was working midnights. And I combined with working full time and working midnights, I was doing hard labor. All those things tire you out. I was exhausted. I had to come in on Sunday, and I'm telling you all this, I'll illustrate it to you in a minute. I was coming in on Sunday, you gotta understand, we had to set the whole church up by ourselves. I came in here on Sunday, I had to set up everything, preach, do everything, and by the way, preaching is equal to 6 hours of hard labor. If you don't know it, public speaking is always hard. Preaching is extremely hard because it's more intense, and you got everything else, the church to run and keep going. So I came in, I preached Sunday morning, I preached Sunday night, and I maybe get an hour of sleep in the afternoon, but I've been sleeping all day during the week, and then I got to switch schedules during the weekend because I sleep at night because church is in the day, and then I had to punch it at midnight. And I had to work a 12 or 13 hour night. I would come on Sunday, and usually I'd just get up Sunday morning, 7, 8 o'clock. I'd run the services, preach twice, be dead exhausted, punch in at work at midnight. I would get home at 1 o'clock the next afternoon having never slept. Then I'd preach twice in that, and then throwing heavy things all night long. I was exhausted. It wasn't fun. That right there wore me out. I was so tired. There were so many things in the church I couldn't get done. And I had to go back, and fortunately, praise God, God gave me grace, and I had to start back prioritizing. And sometimes I like to start prioritizing and throwing things out. I said, I got to read a Bible, I got to pray, I got to spend time with my family. I'm going to do those three things. Anything else I get time for, I'll try. And so I just started surviving. And I come to church, and I figured nobody's going to come, and I didn't have any solution to what was going to happen. I had no idea. What was going to happen in the church? No idea. But I knew I was doing the will of God. What if they start coming? I knew if they started coming, they wouldn't like it because there was nobody at church. And things weren't as organized as they could be because I was just exhausted. I was just trying. My sermons, I did as best I could, but they weren't as organized as they would be now because I was exhausted. I hardly had any time. I had to just squeeze in my Bible reading and prayer and all the things. I'm like door knocking. And that's another thing I prioritize, door knocking. And you have to spend time with your family and trying to raise my kids right, do all that stuff. Boy, I was busy. And I had no solution. And boy, talk about what could be stressful. I was $300 a month short before I worked all those things out. So my finances were a disaster. They were shot as far as, well, we kept good credit. We kept our heads above water, but it was bad. The church wasn't doing well, and I had no solution to how I was going to do well. I had no idea all this stuff. I was tired, I was doing my best, and I didn't know what to do. But I knew I could handle that day. Okay, today I need to go to work. In the morning I'm going to sleep for a few hours. I'm going to go up and go door knocking. Tonight before I go back to work, I'll read a Bible and I'll spend time studying, I'll pray and walk with God and I'll go to work again. I can handle that. And I did it. Do I have any solution for tomorrow? None. I went on for an entire year like that. What are you going to do? I don't know. No idea. The big knot over here. What am I going to do? Then all of a sudden you start getting insecure and everything starts bothering you. You know something that started bothering me? Little things like this. I used to go and get in my car. When I'm trying to have time to pray and spend time with my kids and not be going, oh, how you doing? I get in my car and just say, you know what? I need to clean my car out. I just don't have time or energy. It's a disaster. It's my office. I got all my stuff in here and I'm going and driving my car in the dirt road to go out and pray, and my car's muddy and this and that, but I'm too tired. I don't even wash it. And every time I get in my car, I say, man, this car's a mess. And little things start eating at you because you're stressed out and all that stuff. And one day, as I just kept on dealing with the day at a time and handling that day and not knowing tomorrow at all, but just knowing God's good and knows what He's doing, God said, you're going to restart the church. I said, okay. And he said, you're going to do it this way and this way and this way. And I said, okay. So we did it. And we restarted the church, had a couple special days, and we had about 20 people start coming to church. It may as well have been 200 or 2,000. We had 20 people coming to church. Praise God. We had 12 people come that Sunday night. 12 people. Man, I hadn't had somebody on Sunday night for months. 12 people. Man, we had 32 last Sunday night. Man, wonder why I get so excited. We had 32 this Sunday night. Praise God. We had 12 people. But, and praise God, we had a crowd not coming. And I said, praise God, but I still can't do the work of the ministry well. I'm still too busy. I'm still working a lot of hours. I'm still working 40 hours a week. What am I going to do? I can never run the church like I need to be run working like this. It's too busy. It's too much. I'm too tired. I don't have time. There's so many things at church need to organize and I forget to bring things and it was just hard. Man, it was just hard. I was just trying to survive and prioritize. What am I going to do? Well, I just went on. Went to church, did the stuff, and praised God for the crowd we had. But I was just not able to do enough to keep the church going. I couldn't organize things. We couldn't have activities. I couldn't. There's no time. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, God, but I trust you. I'm going to keep on doing day by day. All of a sudden, one day, God says, I got a big tax return back, and God says, you can survive for a couple months off that tax return. And the church's offerings now go part-time. I understand, I had a pretty good job. When I went part-time, I lost $3 an hour, and I was a senior guy in the entire terminal for my job. I lost all that. And I said, God, what you want me to do? That's great. And I said, I can survive. I said, go to my boss, he's a Christian. I said, hey, I want to go part-time, and can I not work for a couple months? And he said, sure, we'll work it out. Don't worry about it. We'll have somebody else take your spot for full-time. And so I started doing it. I didn't know what the end of 3 months was going to hold, but I could handle that day. Now I got time to do some stuff. And the church started doing things, and it started helping so much, but I still didn't know what was going to happen at the end of 3 months. I ended up going back to work and working 30 hours a week, and it was, you can't do it. I talked to a pastor who brings people from out of town. He has an organization that brings pastors, just like me, same type of church, to the Northwest. That's what he does all the time. He told me, he said 87% of the pastors who worked any job at all that started a church quit. 87%. And as far as we can tell, I'm the only one he knows of who's ever worked full-time and made it to ministry. 87% who work 20 hours a week, 15 hours a week, if you work at all, the ministry is too much pressure to do that. I don't know what I was going to do, and so here I am. And I'm wondering, what am I going to do? But the church started growing because I had a little more time for it. And God blessed it. I had more time to pray. And it started growing a little bit. And I started being able to cut back my hours at work more and more. Then one day, just like a year ago, God said, you're going to be done pretty soon with work. How, Lord? I don't know how that's going to work. There's no way, Lord, I can do that. There's financially, I need that money. I need the benefits. I need this. And one day, my boss called me in this last March and said, you know what? We got to lay one person off. You get the seniority. Either you can work 5 days a week again, or you can be laid off, but you got to choose, because we got to have somebody work 5 days a week, and we need one layoff. And I said, you know, I can't work 5 days a week anymore. The church is too big now. I got too much to do. And he says, fine. I said, thanks for all the stuff. And I said, but you know what? When I got laid off financially, there's no way I could have made it. No way. The truth was, I still, with the job, wasn't making it financially. Now we juggled, did this and this, and knew how to handle money, and we're careful, and we kept our heads above water, but we were... And I said, okay, God, you open the door, I trust you. Then I know what was going to happen tomorrow, and praise God, since March, I've been full-time in the ministry, and in churches, it has helped so much. I've been able to do so much more, and my car's clean, and all these things, and it's helped me so much. Do you know what? I didn't know how any of that was going to work. All I knew is... God can take care of my tomorrow, but take care of today. Did I see any hope? Not a lick. I didn't know God was going to tell me to restart the church. I never thought of that. But then God said, ding, 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 and I said, that's a good idea. God says, and I got some people waiting for you. That are going to be people who are going to help you in the ministry. And I got this all planned out. See, God, take care of tomorrow, but take care of today. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. First verse is Matthew 6:34. Take no thought of tomorrow. Trust God. He'll take care of it. Number two, Philippians. Philippians, and this is our last point. And let me praise God for that. It was God. The only thing I could do is keep stumbling along and try to make it. I was probably a C-minus pastor in a lot of ways because of time and schedule and how tired I was. And I probably could have done more, but have you ever been just so dead? And you say, you know, it's possible I could do that, but it ain't happening. There seems like they just... I can hardly move. And praise God, God kept the church going and kept me encouraged and strengthened me, and praise God, here we are today. Philippians chapter 4 gives the other solution. Let me read verse 7 to you, and it's something you want. If you do what's in verse 6, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Some will keep your mind. You will have a peace that passes all understanding if you do what's verse 6. What's verse 6? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let me give you everything in that verse. There's several points there. Number one, be careful for nothing. We change the word careful a little bit to the way we say it. The word careful in the Bible means full of care. It's literally the closest word to careful is worry. Don't worry about anything. Don't be full of care about anything, it says. That's the command of God. It is a sin to worry. Be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication. You say, how don't you worry? Number one, don't take in tomorrow. Number two, we're going to tell you about it. Right here. Be careful for nothing but, here's what you do, everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known unto God. You get this mess of life, and life can hand everybody messes. And here's a tangled up rope of mess. Here we are. How does it untangle up life and it is untangle it, isn't it? That's where the rope is. Why does it tangle it? I got today's problems. Matthew, come on back up here. Bring my today a little nearer. Time travel here. Okay, here's today. I got today's problems, I can handle these. These problems can come in the way. See there, God. These problems can come either way. And here I am. I take these problems, and if I do what the way I should do, instead of worrying about these and being careful, what about this, not, how am I going to entangle that, what am I going to do with this? It says, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. I say, God, I got a big knot here. I got this one tangled this way. It's all hung up at the end. I've got this problem here. I've got this and this and this and this. And God, here's all my problems. Here they are. I give them all to God. God gives me back what I can handle. And now He's carrying the rest of the problems. They're not my problems anymore. They're in God's hands. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now I'm not carrying these problems. God is untangling them. So what I'm doing is I give these problems to God in prayer. Here, Lord, my car is breaking apart. Lord, please, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. If my car dies, keep it running, or give me another car, give me a better job. I don't know what to do, God, but here's this problem. I don't know what to do. Now I give it to God. It says everything. Every single problem where you have, God says, give to me. It says it twice in that verse. It says, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says, everything give to God. Lord, I'm worried about that. Lord, I'm worried about my job. Lord, I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about this. Lord, I have all these burdens. Here they are to you. And all of a sudden, now they're in God's hands. And God says, now they're in my hands. I take care of them. Now He starts untangling them. See, otherwise, your life is in your own hands. And these problems can hit you without not untangling them because you're taking them yourself. But it says, when you do that, God gives you, not only does He take your problems, but He gives you something very special called peace. And all of a sudden, although you got a big mess coming, you say, you know what, I'm not worried about it. I trust God. God's going to handle it. Yeah. Does it make sense? Problems still there? Yeah, problems aren't disappeared yet. They're still there. The car's still knocking, but you know whose hand you're in. And you know, and all of a sudden, God gives a supernatural dose of peace. And all of a sudden, you say, man, I've got something. It's going to be fine. God's going to take care of me. Go ahead and sit back down, Matthew. Let's look at this verse again. Be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. You talk to God about it. And it says when you do that, you get the peace of God. So first, don't worry. Second, give everything to the Lord. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your care upon Him. Three, you pray and ask for what you want. And number four, which is real important in this, is be thankful. Just kind of sneaks that right in the middle of that verse there. Be careful for nothing, but everything that prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. So right in the middle of that verse, look what he says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You want to know what will change your outlook on how it's happened in your life? It is learning to be a thankful person. Colossians 3:15 has a command of God that says, be ye thankful. That is a state of being of what you do. You become a thankful person. Not just you give thanks, you become a thankful person. It doesn't take long once you learn how to be thankful to change your entire outlook on life. What I do is I read history a lot, and I realize how good I got it. Or I look at somebody else and realize it ain't all that bad. It's not too hard to be thankful because most of us lives, most of our problems are not all that gigantic. Sure, they seem big to us and they're huge to us. I understand that burden. I know it's hard, but when you start thinking for a sec what really is going on and the good things you got going for you, you know when you say, my car is locked, what am I going to do? This is fair, it's a big car. You could be a paraplegic, quite a paraplegic. And suddenly you can push that gas pedal down and hear that knock. Doesn't seem like such a bad thing. You're alive. You can see and hear and talk. You can work a job. You can go and do things. You can get stressed out. What about my kids? What am I going to do about my kids? You could not have kids. Your child could have died at birth. Be thankful you have a child. See, when you start changing your thinking to be thankful thinking, it changes. All of a sudden, your problem doesn't seem so big. Your problem doesn't seem gigantic. Oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do about my finances. My car might get repossessed, and I'm going to have to move into a little junky studio apartment, and this and that. Or you could have been born in Somalia, and you could be running from warlords, or be in the middle of the desert, carrying your child, and wondering if you should give the last little drip of water to her or to you, who's going to die. And suddenly the studio apartment doesn't seem so bad, and because you have to drive a junker car, isn't a big deal. And suddenly the back pain says, you know what? Lord, you blessed me in a lot of ways. I too have a problem with my back, and I pray you take it away, but Lord, I thank you that I can walk. If you can hear this message, you have something to be thankful for. You're not deaf. If you can see me right now, you can be thankful. You have something to be thankful for. Because you see me. That's something to be thankful for. Everybody, the story in Indiana, we had a guy had to come to church for years, a blind guy, and the preacher just preaching away, and right in the middle of the message, the blind guy just jumps up and starts screaming and yelling, I can see, glory to God, I can see. Just went nuts. He started running down the aisle, this guy had been coming, he's blind, white cane, everything, I can see, he's going crazy. And all the crazy things, God just healed him in the middle of service, wasn't a healing line, just boom. And he runs out of the front door of the pulpit, he looks at the preacher and says, I can see. I thought you were a lot more handsome than that. All the crazy things to say. He says, I think you're a lot more handsome than that. The preacher says, you think you got it bad? He says, you're no better looking than I am. I've had to look at you the whole time. And the whole thing happened in church, just like that. So you're lucky if you can see me. Praise God. I might not be able to look at, but you got eyes that can see. Just be thankful. Be thankful that you're alive. You have health. You have a mind that can think. You could have been born absolutely with no mind. And you could have been a person who was just a vegetable. You can work, you can think, you can jump, you can run, you can play, you can work a job. You might have financial hard times, but at least you're not in the middle of some country in Africa right now where they're shooting everybody. You don't have any, know if your family's going to get killed tonight. A lot of things to be thankful, and it says in the middle of your praying for all these things, realize, be thankful. And by the way, if you did live in the middle of some country in Africa where they're shooting each other, or where you're going through a desert, you're going to die of thirst, and your children are going to die of thirst, at least you're saved and you'll be in heaven no matter what. And you'll never have another problem again. So if you're saved, you always have something to be thankful for. So you go, you don't worry, you give everything to the Lord, you pray and ask for what you want, and you be thankful, and all of a sudden, when you do that, you get a supernatural dose of peace. God says, it's going to be fine. And all of a sudden you're... I don't know how to explain it. When you give your burdens to God, pour out your heart, you throw Him your problems... I don't know how, but it gets off your shoulders and it's in God's hand. You know it when you do that. It's just something happens and a peace comes. And you're saying, wow, God, and everything's going to be fine. I wish I could tell you the testimonies of unsaved people and what they've said to me and my wife about how relaxed and peaceful we are. Remember the last time somebody said that, I was getting a physical, just a little one for a life insurance. And the lady's sitting there, and kids are around the house and doing everything, and she's feeling my pulse, and she says, you're the most relaxed parents I've ever seen. She goes, I'm trying to count your breath, but I can't see you breathing. She says, you guys are the most relaxed people I've ever seen. My unsaved mom has told me, I love coming to your guys' house because there's just some kind of peace there that isn't where I am. She's not saved. You know, it isn't me that I'm a peaceful person, because I can get stressed out with the rest of them. I mean, I can get stressed out. What am I going to do? But I've learned I'm too selfish to be stressed out. And because I realize what God says in His book, and it's pretty easy to do, the two simple steps, I'm so selfish, I said, I ain't going to be stressed out. Let the rest of the world be miserable. I'm not going to be living like that. I'm too selfish. I don't want to change my diet because I have an ulcer. I want to keep eating bacon, burgers, and fries. Forget the stress stuff. Man! And so I do these things. I say, you know what? I'm not to be stressed out. My chest starts tightening up. What am I going to do? Lord, I'm worried about this, aren't I? Lord, here's this problem. I'm so glad I'm saved and alive, and I can even talk to you right now. What a privilege. I don't deserve to talk to you, God. One last thing to share about worry. And back in Matthew chapter 6, we'll read in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? It's almost you see God's sense of humor there. Hey, which of you by worrying can change your height at all? I'm 5'8". I will be 5'8", though I worry every day for the rest of my life about how tall I am. It won't change my height. And God says, hey, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? You can't. Worrying, the strange thing about it, though all the effort it takes and all that it damages you, it doesn't change a single thing. You can worry about your finances, and you can call the bank and check out your account balance, and you could be worried, oh no, I only have $5 left. And you can sit down and worry for an entire day, as hard as you can worry. And you call back at night to your bank, and you check your account balance, and you know what? It doesn't increase because you're worried about it. No, worry doesn't do any good. It doesn't change anything. I talked about this to a friend one time who was having problems with stress and worry. And he had hit some traffic on the way to work and gotten to work late. And he was really stressed out about that. And he had lost it a couple times. And well, the things you do when you're frustrated in your car and lose it. And I told my friend, you know what? The thing to remember is this. I said, if you get as stressed out as you can and you hit the steering wheel and you yell and scream and say things you shouldn't, I said, are you going to get there any faster? Does the more you worry and get stressed, does it automatically take you 5 miles ahead or does it make you fly over the traffic jam? He got humored at that and he laughed. And he said, you know, that is so true. It doesn't do 1 ounce of good.